Good afternoon. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and I am broadcasting live on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. I am back in Captain's Quarters on the magical Isle of Vashon, and I am sitting in the Captain's Chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio. My travels are complete for the calendar year 2023, and I will be traveling again around the end of January. Until then, we are together, mustered around the captain's chair here on the magical Isle of Vashon as we come into the holiday season. The greetings today go out to all who came to the open house out at Point Robinson Light Station on Sunday. It was a glorious day, and in particular, because we had more children than, and this is not by any count, any professional way of figuring it out. It's just an intuitive thing on my part and on the part of the lovely people who worked with me to put this together. It is the annual gift from the Keepers of Point Robinson, which I still head up, and the Vashon Park District, of which I have been a part for over 20 years. It is that gift that we give to the island community every year. And it is the beginning of the holiday season in whatever way people celebrate that holiday for many people on the island community. And we know this because they tell us this. They come out to the lighthouse. They visit with the lighthouse Santa. They enjoy the luncheon that we put out, which includes a large amount of homemade chili that your captain makes. And it is just a wonderful community time. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it after I get through the binnacle list, because there were a couple of things that happened during the open house that served to remind me of what a remarkable place, peopled by remarkable people, in which I'm privileged to live and to serve. The binnacle list this week is marked by the crossing of his bar of the former Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger. I'm not going to go into Kissinger's politics or policies in any way. He is a very negative character in the world for many people, a very positive character in the world for many others. All I'm going to say is that he was a large figure, physically a very small man in size, but a very large figure in terms of his influence over foreign policy of the United States during the years that he was working. So the binnacle list, in the personal sense, is and remains today stable. And for that, I am, as always, enormously grateful, because that means that, A, I do not have to grieve over the loss of an academy classmate or the loss of a shipmate. But at the same time, it is always each week a reminder to me that there are many of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list for a number of different reasons, and that all of you are part of the attention that I pay to the world around me. All of you remain in the palm of my hand. Going back to the open house for I think maybe 20 years, when we first started, when the Vashon Park District first started the lease arrangement with the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard owns Point Robinson Light Station, and it has leased it to the Vashon Park District. The Coast Guard takes care of the part of it that makes it a working lighthouse. A parenthetical insertion here. All lighthouses in the Washington, in the state of Washington are still functional with the exception of one, and that one is Admiralty Head up on the north end of Whidbey Island in one of the old coast defense forts. We have several coast defense forts that were established in the in between the two wars to defend Puget Sound should it be attacked from the sea. Those forts are now, at least the one Fort Casey, which is where the Admiralty Head Lighthouse was one of the ones that, in fact, none of them fired to use the current, an expression having to do with combat, never fired a round in anger. But the structure, the lighthouse structure is still there. It is a, it's one of the most attractive of all of the lighthouse buildings in Washington State. And whenever I have people who come into the lighthouse, I give them a poster. And that poster shows on one side the map of where all the lighthouses are. And on the other side, it shows photographs of the one that you can get to. You cannot get to the one out at Destruction Island, for example. But it has photographs of the ones that you can get to. And it has places where you can get stamps, or if you don't get a stamp on the in the appropriate place, you can put a photograph showing that you were there. So the when the Coast Guard offered the lease, the Vashon Park District was the successful bidder. And so for at least 20 years now, the Coast Guard and the Vashon Park District have had this sometimes testy relationship for a couple of reasons. But the light station itself is one of the places which is most precious to island people. We've had all kinds of events out there, weddings, funerals, memorial services. The memorial and party for Mary R. was out there a year and a half ago. Baptisms. When we had the baptism, the child being baptized, the baby being baptized, was the child of a pastor of one of the island churches. And he baptized his child in salt water from Puget Sound. It was a relief to me to realize that in the business of baptism, which is a Christian thing, that God apparently doesn't care whether it is fresh water or salt water. So we've had a number of events out there, many, many weddings. And every year we have the open house. And it all started because we wanted to show to the island community that if they came and stayed with us and helped to provide the income that we needed to do our part in the lease arrangement with the Coast Guard, which is to maintain everything except the part that makes it a working lighthouse, we would open the houses up and people could come in and then they could fill out the form and they could pay their deposit and then they would be able to stay with us. And then it grew. From there, it grew. And the next thing that happened was that somebody, and I believe Mary R. may have had a little hand in this. Well, we ought to provide some kind of refreshment. And so refreshment was provided. It was relatively simple at the beginning. It was a plate of cookies, maybe one or two pieces of unwrapped candy. And then somebody, actually it was the captain, said, I'm going to make homemade chili from the deck plates up. And so the first year that I did this, I made enough to just barely cover the needs, and in fact, we ran out. Now, you have to understand that this chili is not made with ground beef that has been swept up from the deck out at Costco. I use chunks of beef, many chunks of beef, as the meat base. I do not make chili sans carne. It is always chili con carne. For those who eschew my little chili pun there for this Tuesday, for those who eschew meat, they can either pluck it out and give it to some child or dog, or they can not draw an issue of the chili at all and file a complaint. We have had one or two complaints over the years about not providing chili without sans carne. And they can do those things, or they can choose to not appear at the open house at all. There is a Christmas tree. It is a lighted Christmas tree. And when we have music, it is music of the Christmas season. So I am sure that there are people who look at the syllabus in the Beachcomber and say, that Captain Joe, it's happened again. Chili con carne, Christmas music. I think we'll stay away and send them a letter. This year. So anyway, it grew. Chili was the next thing that happened. Then the next thing that happened was a friend said, I would be delighted to motivate Santa to come and be a part of the celebration. And so he did. He was and is a retired naval officer. And for a number of years before they moved off the island, he motivated Santa, who became the lighthouse Santa, the only lighthouse Santa in the entire world. When John and his family moved to back to the East Coast, he was a submariner and he wanted to go back to the home of submarines, which is Groton, Connecticut. When they moved back, I had to find another Santa motivator, and in fact, I did. So now we have the Lighthouse Santa. And for years, we had music of the season. And this year, I was going to say that because we had so many people in this house that we were running out of space and that we would not have any live music this year. And then my friend Anastasia of the Kula Cloth and her husband Aaron sent me a signal, and they said they were coming for open house, and if I wanted, they would bring... Anastasia would bring her violin, and Aaron would bring his ukulele and play some music of the season. When friends offer out of their own generous hearts to do something like that, it would be crass and unkind and ungrateful for the captain to say no, and of course I did not. So we had music. All of this is to say with something that started with opening the door and hoping people come in and then that they sign up to rent the houses has now grown into an event that goes from noon until 4 o'clock. The ship store is open. The Lighthouse Santa was there. We had music of the season. My chili was the best that I had ever created. The ladies of the Keepers of Point Robinson and a couple of new recruits to help out. This was an event that Mary was particularly a part of. She loved the holidays and she loved this particular event. So it was particularly heartwarming because one of the things that happened was many people who had come to see the troll, and we've talked about the troll, many people who came to see the troll decided that they would stick around and see what was going on down the hill, ended up listening to the music, and I had a couple of film clips of everybody gathered and eating and listening to the music, talking to Santa. There were a couple people who I had predicted had been having a difficult year in terms of their goodness level. And I'm not saying that Santa spoke harshly. I am saying that Santa may have been not quite so generous with his promises for some, not for me. Anyway, my thanks go out to everybody who was involved, all of Captain Joe's people who are listening now who were involved in this, and all of you who came. It was just a wonderful and glorious day, and I thank everybody for it. We've talked a little bit in keeping with the theme, both of the holidays, and my ongoing mission for making us all feel a little bit better about ourselves. I have to give you a few comments on cat behavior, and this one in particular is about Sailor, because Blossom continues to prance around, getting under my feet, lying under my desk when I'm working up in Mary's crow's nest. All of these things that tell me that she really wants to be picked up and held and stroked and her coat cleaned up because she is a really unseemanlike mess. But she remains the reluctant maiden, and she's going to take the fall. I know that. I can't report it this week. But Sailor, when I've been gone for about 10 days. Now, Sailor is the smartest cat that I have ever had. And he is certainly as loyal as any of the best XOs that I ever had. And I had only really good XOs. I had wonderful, wonderful shipmates who served me and served the crew and served the ship with such a high level of skill that I treasure and value their friendship even today. And so Sailor fits in that same category, but Sailor's an orange cat. Weighs about 10 pounds. As he ages, he's getting a little bit chunky, I have to say that. So when I'm gone for any length of time, about 2 days before he figures I'm going to come back, he goes on patrol. And he does not return. And Marie, who takes care of my house and my animals when I'm away, sends me a signal wherever I am. And she says, Sailor's on patrol. And when you come back, he may not have returned. And sure enough, when I came back, he was not on the front porch waiting for me. And in fact, he stretched me out for 2 days. That's his pattern. And then I start to get worried. I start that even Sailor may not have been able to evade the pack of coyotes that dwells not too far from Captain's quarters. Although Sailor is fast and he's smart and he can climb trees. We don't have any coyotes in this pack that can climb trees. So he's got it figured out. And I start to get concerned. And when he thinks that I've been concerned enough, that means that I have been to the mast. For those of you who have been to the mast, you know what that means. That he has taken me to the mast for going away at all, which he absolutely hates. And about 2 days after my return, I look out on the front porch and he's there telling me he's ready to come in. He's hungry. He's wet. And, okay, so, Captain, you've been away. You've been punished. Now let's pick everything up and roll it out. That's my sailor. And that's my cat behavior report for today. I had an all-coast. All-coasts are messages called all-coast to all Coast Guard people. The Coast Guard today generates them in huge quantities. And I got one the other day for the Admiral William M. Benkert Environmental Award selection. Admiral Benkert was one of the great flag officers in our service. You older hands out there, you older Coast Guard people will know who he was. He was a sailor. He was a marine safety specialist. He was rough cut around the edges as you can be and still graduate from the Coast Guard Academy. And he was known throughout the service as Mike, not to his face. Whenever I saw him, and I saw him fairly frequently over the years, it was never, "How the hell are you, Mike?" It was, "Admiral, I am always happy to see you." And he would say, "Captain Joe, I am always happy to see you." We were much alike in a number of different ways. A sailor, a specialist, a cutter captain for whom his crews had the highest regard. I tell this story about Mike Benkert because he's the sort of person he was not a smooth politician, but he was in charge of regulating the merchant marine industry. And the merchant marine industry, as a collective large group, loved him, respected him, admired him, and knew that they would get a fair shake in all of the ways that the Coast Guard regulates the merchant marine industry from Admiral Mike Benkert. When he died, about maybe 10 years ago, when he died, there was an outpouring of regard from the maritime industry. He made 2 stars. He would not have been a particularly smooth witness at his confirmation hearing if he had been selected for commandant, but he knew, and I knew, that he would never be nominated to be the commandant. Anyway, I bring this up because he is just the kind of flag officer that every flag or general officer that every organization needs to put into high places every so often, to put a little sense of reality, a little bit of contact with the troops that you don't get from people who have almost no command experience. I have had in my own life, I have had Coast Guard lawyers who are sailors, commanding officers of great skill and great empathy with their crews. I have had an XO who was a finance and supply specialist and who was in the pantheon of all of my XOs as far to the top, just a wonderful, wonderful officer, a wonderful friend. And he remains so today. I've had Captain Professor Dr. Lawson Brigham, who was never selected for flag, but who commanded twice as the pre-commissioning commanding officer in 2 different cutters, commanded Polar Sea, worked for me, and there is, if ever there was a challenge, that one is it. And never selected for flag. He would have been a splendid one. So I bring all these points up because every now and then, I get reminded, and that happened to me today, when the solicitation is out there for people to be considered for the Mike Benkert Environmental Award. He was an environmentalist back when that sort of thing had very little constancy. I hope that the selection is such that they find a really good one. The Panama Canal is in serious trouble. It's in serious trouble for two reasons. One of them is that there's not been enough water in Gatun Lake, which is the freshwater lake that provides the water for floating ships in and out of the canal. That the rainfall has not been up to normal levels. And so ships are piling up to get through the canal. And what happens then is that when a ship owner decides that he's not going to go through the canal, he's going to go around the long way, and he pulls out of the queue, that slot then becomes available, and the Panama Canal Authority auctions it off. So let's say that a large container ship whose tolls to go through the canal might be $800,000, not an unusual amount. Then she also wins the auction, and she pays $4 million for that slot to get through. We built the Panama Canal. We gave her back to Panama in the Carter administration. I'm not going to get into the rightness or wrongness of that. But it is the leading canal waterway in the world. And ships either then have to go around the Cape Horn or the Cape of Good Hope and the Suez Canal. I say all of these things because all of these things have an impact on supply chain. They have an impact on things, products. Surprisingly enough, one of the things that was mentioned is ferns that are grown here in Washington State that are then shipped through the Panama Canal to the Netherlands to go along with flowers that are grown in the Netherlands. Who would have thought that? Well, certainly your captain would not have thought that. So this is another situation that we're going to keep an eye on. And because I spent so much time on the open house, and I did that on purpose, I did that because it is a great story about the holiday season, about what the holiday season is all about. And we need more of that kind of thing and less of the kind of thing that's going on in some parts of the world. I have one other thing to say about Coast Guard life. I just got a signal from, I think this one came from one of the Coast Guard outlets. The Coast Guard is finally going back to all Sikorsky helicopters. For all of you brown shoes out there, all of you Coast Guard aviators who are not keeping up with what's going on in the world of the pterodactyl, we are going back to all Sikorsky helicopters, and the ones that we bought from France all those years ago. I would use a term which is in the list of those that we are not supposed to use. I will say this. In my time with Northwind, with my beloved Northwind, I also always had helicopters embarked. H-52, wonderful, wonderful machine. And I have a lot of time in the left seat because helicopters, the aircraft commander flies in the right seat. I have a lot of time, left seat time, in HH-52 helicopters. And if you want a machine that you know is going to take you out and bring you home, that machine is it. Those helicopters that you see, which are Marine One, that carry the president from the lawn of the White House to out to Andrews Air Force Base for any one of his journeys. Those are all Sikorsky machines. Maybe I'll take some time in a future broadcast to talk about Sikorsky Igor and how we, the Coast Guard, ended up being a Sikorsky family member, because we've had Sikorsky aircraft in the Coast Guard ever since 1944. And you all can fact check me on that. I will tell you about that when I get to it, because now we are at once again at 1300. This is your Captain Joe. Up on the captain's chair, I will be here next week. We will all talk about all sorts of things, Coast Guard and non-Coast Guard things. It is, as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and this is your Captain Joe on station.